The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight on Unsigned, I'll be covering Major League Baseball, the top movies at the box office, the death of Janie Lane from Warrant, Jeff Bridges' new album, Manny Pacquiao cracks the top 10 in music, and much, much more here only on Unsigned tonight. Hey everyone, how's it going out there? My name is Ryan. Thanks for tuning in here to Unsigned. I regret to inform the listeners that we were going to have Robert Everest back on the show, but due to some phone issues and technical difficulties, unfortunately, he's not going to be with us this evening. And I do apologize for listeners out there that we're not going to have him on tonight, but we are going to work on having Robert Everest on next week. To talk about, you know, the new single, the new album, the show he did in Atlanta, and a couple other things as well, and also debut his new song titled Downtown next week. So definitely stay tuned for that, and we appreciate Rob, basically giving an effort and sticking with us through our technical glitches tonight. We do apologize about that, but you know what, a lot of things still to cover tonight on the show. So stick with us here. Now, before I lead in with Major League Baseball, we'll do our Major League Baseball recap right off the cuff here tonight. Before I do that, I'm sitting in a nice comfortable chair. I've been doing the show in a different room in my house. I finally moved into one of the side rooms. Got a nice little new desk set up, nice comfortable chair. Above me, I have a collage of photos of live shows that I've been to, Buddy Guy and Clutch and Megadeth, Mushroomhead, Guar, the list goes on and on of awesome photos I have above me here that I've taken myself, nice little collage. Behind me, I have a dartboard, so if I guess I could play cricket with myself. I just thought it added a nice touch to the studio in progress here. I also have a nice Fender Squire acoustic guitar to the right of me. Now, some of you did hear me sing last week, so I will not be, doing any singing or guitar playing for a week. We'll leave that as it is. So, again, studio in progress here. And we promised, and I promised you a couple weeks ago, we have more guests, and that's what we're trying to do. Rob Everest is going to be the lead off for that, and we hope to have Daryl Ryder back to do some NFL. Preview before the season gets underway as well. But I'll tell you what, let's get into it tonight. My name is Ryan. This is Unsigned. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me. Show number 30. We had a rough start, but we're going to finish strong. We're going to have a nice show as we head into the Major League Baseball recap. We'll start with the American League East, like we always do, going from top to bottom, going from division, division, division. Now, here's a really tight race. Again, Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, the two powerhouses in the American League, battling it out for the pennant race. Again, I think we all know that both of them are going to end up in the playoffs. Just a matter of who wins the pennant and who gets the wild card spot. Only a half game separating the two now, and both of these teams have won six out of their last 10 games. Neck and neck, this is going to be a really fun race. They both have the same amount of losses. Boston has one more win. Again, going to be a very entertaining race when you're talking Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees. Now we head to the American League Central. Now a couple weeks ago, the Indians were, they had that really rough road trip. They had to go to Texas. They went to Boston, seven-game road trip. They come back home, play the Tigers. They were about four and a half games out. Now the Indians are two games out. Here they come. The young Indians are closing the gap. They have a big series with the rival Chicago White Sox, which basically starts tonight. So they have three games against the White Sox. Then they have three games against the first place Detroit Tigers. All six of these games are on the road. This Tigers matchup starting the 19th of August is going to be a very, very crucial series. The Indians won the last series against Detroit last week, 2-1 in a pitching duel in game one in Cleveland, almost went 15 innings. The bullpens put it all out there. Game two of that series ended up being the Indians just bombed away. The bats woke up for the Tribe, and they ended up winning big. And game three was Justin Verlander just being Justin Verlander, more likely the Cy Young winner of the American League. Indians, Tigers, this is going to be a very interesting race. And knowing the Indians and this young team and how they've been all season, it's going to be a heart-pounding finish. Someone cue Major League right now. Also, I want to bring up in the American League Central. The Minnesota Twins, yes, they've had a very disappointing year this year. But I tell you what, last night, history was made. Former Indian great Jim Thome became only the eighth player in Major League Baseball history to hit six home runs. He was the very first person to ever hit 599 and 600 in back-to-back at-bats. Now, he has 600 home runs, and he also did this in the fewest at-bats than any other player in baseball history except for the late, great Babe Ruth. Now, here are the people who are in that elite group of 600 home run hitters. Obviously, Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays. Now, you have Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, and Alex Rodriguez. Now, the big difference of those modern era guys is Jim Thome, Ken Griffey Jr., near steroids, no performance-enhancing drugs that we know of, never really any bells ringing on that aspect when you look at Bonds, Sosa, and A-Rod. Let's face it, even though they didn't prove it, the perjury trials in court, I mean, come on, these guys obviously, you know, had something to do with performance-enhancing drugs and baseball and steroids. So you look at Jim Thome and the way he did it, guy's been in the league 21 years, he spent 12 years in Cleveland, got most of those home runs there. This guy has been a class act for baseball from start to finish. It was a great scene last night when he rounds the bases. His whole family is there. His wife is there. His father is there. He lost his mother in 2005 to cancer. The unsigned clap goes to Jim Thome, a true classic, and a first ballot Hall of Famer for Cooperstown, no doubt about it. Anybody out there who thinks that Jim Thome doesn't belong in the Baseball Hall of Fame has a screw loose in their head. I'm sorry. Just that plain and simple. And there are people on ESPN talking about, oh, well, I don't know if he's a Hall of Fame guy or not. Really, because only eight people in Major League Baseball history have hit 600 home runs or more. Jim Thome's one of them. And he did it in the fewest at-bats than any of the guys mentioned, except for Babe Ruth, one of the greatest of all time as far as hitters is concerned. That's my piece on Jim Thome. Moving on with the American League West. The Texas Rangers, much as I suspected, starting to pull away, create space in this division. The Los Angeles Angels, the Anaheim Angels, a valiant effort. They played pretty solid ball all year, above 500 baseball. The Rangers are powerhouses with 70 wins now, a five-game lead. I don't perceive them giving up that lead. They've won eight of their last 10. They are rolling into the postseason. Now we look at the National League. You have the Philadelphia Phillies, again, best record in baseball. They've won eight of their last 10. And the Braves, 8.5 games back, and they've won 71 games already, playing almost 600 baseball. They've won 7 out of their last 10. They're going to be a tough wild card, this Atlanta Braves team, heading into the postseason. Now, when you look at the National League Central, the Milwaukee Brewers with a 6-game lead over the Cardinals, 11.5 game lead over the Cincinnati Reds, who just have been a dismal this year, and the Pittsburgh Pirates, who had one of their best seasons in really about, 10, even 15 years, really just kind of fizzled down the stretch. A very young team, much like the Cleveland Indians, now 13 games out. This has pretty much become the Brewers' division to win, and I hear a lot of people, they've won, again, 9 out of their last 10, much like they did last week, just steamrolling through the National League right now. Many people are starting to change their tune, saying, you know what, maybe the Brewers are the team to beat in the National League. But I tell you what, they can hit, and they have decent pitching. And I talked about last week, the Philadelphia Phillies, if they have an Achilles heel, it is their bullpen. And it remains to be seen if they meet in the playoffs, but I'd like to see it. That'd probably be a high-scoring affair if those two were to meet. Now, you look at the National League West, the defending champions, the injury list continues to grow. They just can't score runs. I think they're like 30th or 29th. They're at the bottom of the league in runs scored. Yes, they have great pitching, but it only gets you so much. With great pitching, you need run support. Now they find themselves 2.5 games out of first place in the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have won 7 out of the last 10. They've won 6 in a row. have a 2.5-game lead on this division. Again, the Giants are struggling. Beltran, who they picked up in the midseason trade from the Mets, is actually on the DL right now, and they lose one of their starting right-handed pitchers. Now, the Arizona Diamondbacks, although they have this 2.5-game lead, Jason Marquez, one of their starting pitchers of the rotation, is going to be out for at least the next 4 to 6 weeks. But again, the Diamondbacks are playing Philly tonight. I'll be interesting to see if they are able to handle and control that first place mark in the NL West. This has been your Major League Baseball recap. Now, I want to, before we move on here tonight, I want to talk about the Texas Rangers. Now, you remember about a month or so ago about the Texas Rangers fan who fell over the railing to try to catch a foul ball at Rangers ballpark. And again, I've said it a couple of times, the New York Rangers are a class act organization, and this story tells you all you need to know. Next year at Rangers ballpark, next season, after the team is going to erect a statue in the memory of Shannon Stone. This is the firefighter from Brownwood, Texas, who fell to his death July 7th, and his six-year-old son, Cooper, who witnessed the accident. The statue, which is tentatively to be named Rangers, to be in place for the 2012 season. A full-size bronze statue is likely to be located outside the home plate gate of Rangers Ballpark in Arlington. Now, the tragedy took place in the second inning on that fateful night on July 7th, where star outfielder Josh Hamilton tossed the souvenir ball into the stands after a batter hit a foul ball. Stone stuck his glove out to try to reach and catch the ball, and unfortunately lost his balance and flipped over the railing to the outfield seats and fell to his death due to blunt force trauma. Rangers president Nolan Ryan, a Hall of Fame pitcher, as we all know, said the club would review the height of the railings at the stadium, even though they already exceeded the city's code limits. Also, the team has set up an account accepting donations for Stone's in Stone's honor with the Texas Rangers Baseball Foundation. Donated money has been embarked to help the Stone family. The Rangers have donated an undisclosed amount of money, according to the Rangers website. Stone's widow, Jenny, said she appreciated Ryan and the Rangers during their family's time of loss. Shannon and Cooper had a special relationship and were touched and grateful that they will be remembered on their favorite places, she said in this statement. Our hope is that this statue will not be a symbol of our family's tragedy, but rather a reminder of the importance of a family's love, to love each other, love spending time with another, and love of the game story. And again, the Rangers, a class act organization, hands down, and this tells you all you need to know about this organization and how it's run. Now, we've covered this story a lot, and when I saw this story today, I really wanted to bring it up. It just goes to show you that, you know, we talk about, you know, organizations and players and the owners of, you know, NFL and Major League Baseball. These guys are all about the money, all about the money. And for the most part, yes, they're in business to make a lot of money. But when something like this happens and you see an organization and you see the, you know, the guys in the organization, the president of the Rangers, really step up and not necessarily just, you know, put a statue up just for the heck of it, but really, you know, Texas Rangers Baseball Foundation donating money to the family, you know, donating money for themselves, and getting this family and giving them a support system in their time of need really, really shows you what a class act organization the Texas Rangers are. So the unsigned clap feel-good story of the night goes to the Texas Rangers. I still hope that if my Indians have to play them in the World Series, if we have to play the Rangers in the playoffs, I still hope they lose. So that's just, you know, go Tribe. But with that being said, class as an organization, I hope the Indians beat them in the playoffs. But hey, we continue here tonight on Unsigned, a section of the show we've been doing for some time. It's called Off the Path. This is where we take a step back from sports and we talk about things non-sports related. I want to lead off tonight with a segment of Off the Path with frontman, singer, songwriter Janie Lane of Warrant, who was found dead this past Thursday night in a hotel room in Woodland Hill, California. Janie Lane was a native of Akron, Ohio. It is well known that Lane had a history of alcohol abuse. The cause of death has yet to be released. Janie Lane was only 47 years old. Now, Warren's biggest hit, as you may have guessed, is Cherry Pie, which came from the album titled Cherry Pie. The album went double platinum. The band spanned from 1988 to 1992 during their biggest time of popularity. Now, if you remember glam rock, you remember Warren, no doubt about it. Now, this is unfortunately another sad story in rock and roll, but have no fear. You can rest easy knowing that Cherry Pie will always be some stripper's curtain call on a Friday or Saturday night at the Titty Twister, at the Dollhouse, at the Hustler Club, or wherever half-naked women take their clothes off for money. Or you could possibly hear Cherry Pie on an FM radio station doing an all-80s weekend, and you crank up your radio to Cherry Pie. And now, on a double shot of Warren, here's Uncle Ton's Cabin on your 80s big hair stonewashed jeans weekend. Janie Lane, the underrated songwriter, but still a part of rock and roll history. She is my Cherry Pie. Moving on tonight here on Off the Path, we have Manny Pacquiao. Now you would say, wait a second, Manny Pacquiao's a boxer, right? Aha! Yes, he is. He is the welterweight champion of the world and Filipino congressman. But Manny Pacquiao also wears a third hat, as he is actually climbing right now the music charts with his version of Sometimes When We Touch. Sometimes when we touch. It's number 7 on the adult contemporary rankings. Singer Dan Hill heard Manny singing the song on Jimmy Kimmel Live back in 2009, so he reached out to the boxer last June about recording it. Hill said it's like Muhammad Ali meets Elvis. They hit it off right away and became friends and recorded the song and also a documentary, which I would love to see. Now, Manny Pacquiao will fight Juan Manuel Marquez this fall. Now, my only question is this. Now, when Manny Pacquiao comes out in Vegas, I believe is where this fight is, when he fights Manuel Marquez, who is a tough fighter, by the way, I wonder if he's going to come out to his version of Sometimes When We Touch, or better yet, maybe Manuel Marquez will come out playing it as well. What do you think? Sometimes when we touch. Nothing strikes fear in an opponent than the welterweight champion of the world singing his rendition of Sometimes When We Touch by Manny Pacquiao. You can't make this stuff up. You really can't. Unbelievable. Moving on tonight here on Off the Path, Jeff Bridges' self-titled album, which actually was released today, August the 16th, the Academy Award-winning actor, is produced by longtime friend and multi-Grammy award-winning songwriter T-Bone Burnett, who's also known for his work with, get this, Alison Krauss, Elton John, and Robert Plant, just to name a few. He also did the soundtrack for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Crazy Heart, which also features Jeff Bridges, and also the movie Walk the Line. Burnett and Bridges have been friends since filming together on a set of the 1980 film Heaven's Gate. Burnett also selected songs from the 1998 cult classic The Big Lebowski. All I gotta say is, the dude abides. The dude abides, man. Now here's a story that I actually skipped last week, and I really feel bad about it, so I wanted to bring it up tonight. Jane's Addiction's new single, Irresistible Force, this is from their coming album titled The Great Escape Artist, Jane's Addiction's first album in over 8 years. And it's actually due out September the 27th, a little over a month from now. This song, I listened to this song a couple times, and I got a chance that I went back and listened to it today. This song does bring me back to the days of Nothing Shocking. So if you're a big Jane's Addiction fan, now the reviews of the song are not necessarily that good from what I've read. Me personally, I really enjoyed the song. It does bring me back to the Nothing Shocking time frame. Again, the lyrics are really far out, something you would expect from Perry Farrell. The bass lines are smooth. The guitar is winding and vast. The tranquil voice of Farrell gives the song a lot of body. The music is great and really what you would expect from a band like Jane's Addiction. I listened, again, to the song a few times. After hearing it, I had it actually in my head again today after hearing the song. Been humming it most of the day. It really left me wanting to hear more from this album. Much anticipated release of Jane's Addiction, new album, The Great Escaped Artist. Looking forward to it. And once I get a chance to listen to the whole album, we'll definitely do a review here on the show on Unsigned on the Off the Path section of the show. Now, Charlie Sheen was in the news again, and not for the TV show 2.5 Men. He was in the news for that, but here's another story you may not have heard of. Charlie Sheen, the juggalo in action and the tradition of winning this past weekend, appeared on stage in an Insane Clown Posse Juggalo Music Festival. Say that three times fast. To most, being booed off stage and having trash thrown at you is not necessarily a good thing, but Mr. Tiger Blood himself, Charlie Sheen, and his representatives told reporters that they were not boos, they were chanting whoop whoop, which is apparently a show of love from the Juggalo crowd. Charlie Sheen's representative said he did well in front of the Juggalo audience, so I guess if you know doing well is having trash thrown at you, then he might as well shoot me up with some of that Adonis DNA, right? Charlie Sheen capped off his weekend by taking batting practice with the Arizona Diamondbacks. In the background, all I can hear is Wild Thing playing in Cleveland and Randy Quaid yelling from the stands, "Hey, Wild Thing! You make my butt sting!" Anybody remember that? Major League reference of the night, number two. Moving on tonight here on Off the Path, former bassist of Queens of the Stone Age, Nick Oliver. I tell you, we've done a lot of stories of guys doing really dumb things. The Smoky Walker, the big boy from Outkast, and this one I think is probably top of the list. He's been charged with four felonies and faces up to 15 years in prison, stemming from a five-hour standoff with a SWAT team. Police were called to his property in California for domestic issues, where, again, he had a five-hour standoff with the SWAT team. Oliver finally agreed to let his girlfriend leave the duplex. During a search of the property, police seized a highly powered, fully loaded automatic rifle, cocaine, and methamphetamines, thus proving that cocaine and doing cocaine makes you absolutely crazy, a la Rick James. That cocaine is a hell of a drug. Going from a cocaine story to Walt Disney. Yes, we are here on Unsigned. Walt Disney was working on a full-screen version of The Lone Ranger, which was to actually have Johnny Depp slated to star in the film. That is not going to happen, be it part of a basically budget concerns from Walt Disney and everyone involved. So it doesn't look like the remake of The Lone Ranger, which was hugely famous in 1930s radio and also 1940s, 1950s film, is basically put on the back burner. The plug has been pulled. Now, speaking of films, filming the new Avengers film, which actually took place downtown Cleveland this week, transforming it into the Big Apple's famous 42nd Avenue. The Avengers film is due summer of 2012. It features Samuel L. Jackson, Robert Downey Jr., and Scarlett Johansson. I talked about this film a couple weeks ago, and again, it's going to feature in the film Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Thor, Nick Fury, again, which is played by Samuel Jackson. This is going to be an epic, action-packed adventure. Mark your calendar, May 2012. Most of the filming was done in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, we always end up doing the movies, and we're going to do that like we always do. Top movies at the box office this week. Starting with number 10, we'll work our way up to the top. Number 10, we have The Change-Up at $6.3 million. Crazy Stupid Love, $7 million. Captain America, The First Avenger, $7.2 million. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2. Harry Potter, $7.2 million. Cowboys and Aliens, hanging strong at $7.8 million. 30 Minutes or Less at $13.3 million. The movie The Smurfs, still in the top five at $13.7 million. You know my feelings about that. The movie Final Destination 5, $18 million. The movie The Help, which actually looks like a very nice dramatic film, at $26 million. And still at number one, no surprise to me. And again, if you get a chance to see this movie, you have to see it. It's going to be up for some awards. I'd be surprised if it's not when that time comes. Rise of the Planet of the Apes at $27.8 million, rounding out the top movies of the box office this week. This concludes our section of Off the Path, as we're going to head into some other stories on the show that I wanted to touch base with you on. This is actually a story about a wrong turn. A skier in New Zealand, one of the most popular ski fields in New Zealand, this female woman, 55 years old skier who was unnamed in the report, made a very difficult 6.2-mile cross-country hike. At one stage of the journey, she was pursued by a herd of bulls. The 55-year-old woman, again, who was not named in the article, walked over very challenging terrain in the dark to a farmhouse where she became separated from her skiing companions. She did not require medical attention. This is Queenstown Police Officer Blair Duffy said that she was very lucky and that she was strong enough to keep going. Her five-hour journey included scaling fences and bluffs in the dark. Oh, yeah, and she was chased by a herd of bulls. The Coronet Peak Ski Field is about 11 miles northeast of Queenstown, the most popular winter vacation spot in New Zealand, South Island. The woman said she would return to the ski resort and show the staff where she became unstuck so it does not happen again. My question about this story when I was reading it, I go, how does she get separated from her companions? And why didn't they go looking for her if she was gone for over 5 hours? You know, that's after I read the story, I go, what happened to the, I mean, did they just like, you know what? She's been on my nerves this whole ski trip. You know what? We're leaving her out there. So I went and said, hey, you know what? The person we were skiing with that we came here on this vacation with has been missing for 5 hours. You know, is anybody else think that when they hear that story? That's the first thing I thought of. Moving on tonight here on Untime, my name is Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me. I really appreciate it. This is a funny story, again, coming from Ohio. A lot of weird stuff happening in Ohio. Missing Ohio statue. A bronze statue of a little girl was reported stolen from the Toledo Mudheads. The statue had been found in a police property room. Two police officers said they found the statue on the sidewalk about 20 yards from where it's usually spotted. The report said that they took it in to protect it. It was unclear why it was unbolted and moved from the city's from its original position. The city's art commission is just glad that it had been found and not been stolen by scrap metal thieves. Now, here's another story I'm reading, and I go, so these two police officers decided they were going to steal a statue, realized it was too heavy for them to move, and then just, you know, took it in to the police property room for protection. What is going on right now in the world? Unbelievable. Now, here's another one. This is, I'm titling this, What the Puck. What the Puck, I say. In Faribault, Minnesota, an 11-year-old boy made an amazing hockey shot, sending a puck into a tiny small hole 89 feet away. The shot actually would have been worth, get this, over $50,000. There's one problem. Nate Smith was standing in for his identical twin, Nick Smith. Nick Smith says he was outside when the ticket was drawn to make the shot on this Thursday at a charity game in Faribault, Minnesota. So his brother, Nate, said he was stunned when the puck went in, filling in for his identical twin brother. The people putting on the event were none the wiser, except their father, Pat Smith, told the organizers that Nate, not Nick, made the shot. He said, honesty is the best policy. And the company that insured the raffle has yet to say if they will actually pay out or not. Now, he did make the putt. He did make the hockey puck 89 feet into the small hole, although be it was the other brother, the identical twin brother. Now, the thing about me is, you know, we talked about this, the Derek Jeter guy who caught the ball, Derek Jeter's 3,000th hit, and just gave the ball back, was worth probably around $50,000, probably worth more now, anticipate up to $250,000. Now, here's a guy, in this economy, I understand, you know, you want to be honest and fair, and some people would say, yeah, maybe it's bad karma, but I'm sorry. I mean, the organization, you know, that put this on is none the wiser, and it's an 11-year-old boy. It's not like we're, you know, it's a hockey puck. It's, you know, they pretty much put this event on thinking no one would actually really hit it. An 11-year-old kid, his twin brother, goes up there and hits it for him, and he sinks it 89 feet away, and it's supposed to be worth 50 grand. So, Mike, you know, what's your take on this? I don't have any brothers. You have brothers, not identical brothers, but would you be mad if your dad would have went up and been like, nope, you know what? Honesty is the best policy, man. We're going to have to forego that 50 grand. What are your thoughts on that?
Here's the way I look at it. They're 11-year-old kids. It's not like they got a they dressed up a professional hockey player as an 11-year-old boy and sent him out on the rink.
That's my take on it. I mean, in this world's economy and the way things are, and we don't talk a lot about that stuff on this show, and we try to, you know, veer from it because we want to have a good time and joke and laugh. But in all honesty, you know, Mr. Pat Smith, I'd have to say, you know what? I'd pat my boy on the back and say, job well done. You just paid for some college for you and your brother, you know?
Exactly.
That's the way I look. But, you know, that's, you know, kind of, I thought it was an interesting story, you know, the skier and the missing statue in Ohio and all those different things that we like to cover here. Some few humorous stories, not a whole lot of sports tonight. We covered baseball last week. We really covered the NBA really well with Mr. Jeff Sack, and we look forward to having him back on at some point. We have some more information about the NBA and the lockout and those things. NFL preseason, which I was going to get into tonight, and you know, we ended up not doing because we thought we were going to have Rob Everest, and unfortunately we don't. So I didn't really prepare anything for the NFL. Obviously, the preseason kicked off. It was wonderful to see NFL really in full swing. Everybody's getting their fantasy teams together and all these things. Next week, I really want to break down every single division of football and kind of give you my prediction. I was going to do it this week, and after seeing, you know, one preseason game, it doesn't give me enough to really think about and do enough scouting to see where teams are at right now. Still some movement in free agency. Guys kind of filling out. Wait till we cut the rosters down on all the teams right now. They're still at 90. They have a couple weeks before they're down into the 70s. So wait till rosters kind of get cut down and we get closer to the first start of the regular season. We'll really break down each division in every conference, and you know, we'll do our own pick here and give everybody's record of what I think the record will be and go from there. Also, I want to give a big shout out to at Cooker Carolyn. Definitely check her out at Cooker Carolyn on Twitter. Grab a copy of her cookbook as well. Mike, thanks as always, man. I know we were kind of under the gun tonight, trying to do some things to finagle some systems. You did a great job as always, and always do a wonderful job engineering the show. And also, shout out to Rob Everest. Check him out on Twitter at RobEverestMusic1, and also RobEverestMusic.com. You can check that out. But we hope to have him on the show next week. I anticipate that we will. Thanks for his patience in this as well. And my name is Ryan. Seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.